Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing one of my tribe of amazing people in this industry, Tara Christensen. Tara, tell everybody hello.
Hello, everybody.
And give them just a little bit of background on what you have been doing and are doing related to real estate that would give you a crazy story.
Oh, good heavens. I was in real estate as a real estate agent, and then I transitioned into being a technology and training director, which I currently still am, for Century 21 Redwood Realty. I write content for all sorts of different companies, and I speak all over the world about real estate and technology and digital marketing.
And she's very good at speaking, and she's very animated to the point where her Fitbit thought she was doing aerobics when she was speaking last week, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And by the way, her Century 21 office is located in Northern Virginia in the Washington, D.C. market, if you are curious as to which C21 gold jacket crowd she's affiliated with. So, with that being said, Tara, I got to give you the ground rules of the podcast, which are no F-bombs or GDs, because I'm allergic to them, but anything else flies except for names. So that as you tell a story, if there are guilty parties, only they can identify themselves. So with that being said, do tell us your crazy story.
Well, it started in my first year in real estate. I started in 2006. My mama actually bribed me into coming into the business. I was in very cold, windy Chicago doing not real estate stuff. And she pulled me into real estate and said in Virginia, Northern Virginia, and said, you know, this would be much better and much warmer for you. So I did, and it was fabulous. But what I didn't realize was the investment that goes into it. And it's not just the emotional investment that goes into real estate. Now, not only did I join in October of 2006, which means that shortly thereafter, most of us know 2007, boom, goes everything with the market and everything else. But I was really excited because one of the first listings that I actually caught wind of was a $1.7 million house.
Ooh, that's chunky.
Yeah, that's not so bad for your first timer, right? So one of my very first listings, really excited about all this. I had to drive a bit to get to it, but you know what? It was going to be worth it. I was really excited, and 1.7, woo, let's bring it on. Started getting to know the couple more and more, of course, as you're going along and things are happening. And they had lied to me, which was super fun. And so it wasn't really going to be worth $1.7 million. It was really probably going to be more about like $1.4 or $1.3. Now, we had done the market costs and everything on it, and at the time it had been $1.7. But then as time went on, it actually, as the market started to drop in general in our area, so did the price of all the homes. And of course, so did the price of their home, right? And they kept saying, no, it'll be fine. It'd be great. Well, we actually got a beautiful offer and about 1.4. Now, I have to say, by this time, I had invested over $15,000 of my own money into marketing this home.
Holy smokes. In one house?
One house.
Dude, that's a lot of money.
Dude, you have no idea.
Holy crap. I've never spent $15,000 marketing a listing. No offense to all my sellers who are listening to this, but that's a lot of money.
Well, you think, oh, you're going to get it back, you know, and or at least to some extent. And it was worth it because I was getting my name out there, and there's signs, and there's flyers, and there's postcards, and there's all that kind of marketing they tell you you're supposed to do, right? I didn't even put any thought into it. I just did what they told me to
do. Because being a realtor means you can't really manage math very well.
Nope. And you listen to everybody else who tells you what to do instead of actually thinking for yourself.
Wow. Because you were young and inexperienced and green. Sweet little greenhorn.
Yep.
Okay. So you got a good offer.
Good offer comes in. You know, I've got this 15 grand. I'm thinking, oh, well, at least, you know, maybe I'll break even. And they look at me, and this is over a 5 a.m. phone call, which I had to attend because that's the only time we have available. And, you know, you haven't really done that much for us. And I'm thinking 15 grand. Now, by this time, it's been 6 months of sitting on the market, 6 months as the whole market's crashing around us and prices are falling. And I'm thinking, it's okay. It's okay. We've got an offer. And they said, well, you know, that would be a good offer, except that doesn't cover our third mortgage.
Dang. So if you're listening to this, you need to understand that right around the time the market was at its height in 4, 5, 6, and then the front half of 7, many homeowners were using their houses as their personal ATM, mm-hmm. and most banks were so loose, they would let you have as many equity lines as you wanted, which apparently for these people meant to go get a third. I can't even imagine.
Third mortgage. And so, goodbye listing, goodbye everything, because we couldn't get it sold. Because we would have to go into a short sale situation. They didn't want the embarrassment, and I'm putting that in quotes, embarrassment of a short sale situation to sell the home. And they kept insisting that, you know, it's worth way more than it was actually worth by that time, especially. And so bye-bye listing, bye-bye 15 grand. When I would drive by afterwards, because of course I had to drive by afterwards to see what happened. First, they tried to put it on the market. That failed. Then they tried to put it up for rent for an obscene amount of rent.
Sure, that's going to work.
It didn't work.
Did you flip them off every time you drove by? Because I'm pretty sure that I would be flipping somebody off, even though I try not to do those things.
Yep. Well, one of them even accidentally called me one day. Like, I think she butt dialed me or something, and I really very nearly lost it.
You answered?
Oh, I answered. Because I was hoping maybe they'd give me some of my 15 grand back.
That was not going to happen.
So that whole year total, my whole first year total, I lost, wait for this, $27,000 I invested in marketing, in like personal marketing, and in marketing listings that I had at the time that I lost because of the market failing and dropping and my poor math skills and my naivete. So I was introduced to digital marketing after that, or actually I taught myself digital marketing after that because I became a very big cheapskate.
So hang on, does this mean you didn't pay taxes either? Because, you know, the government doesn't exactly look at our losses as a one-for-one.
I know. It was really brutal. It was a brutal, brutal year. That was not a good entry point for me. Things picked up after that, I will have to say. I learned my lesson from my first year in real estate.
I hope so.
Yep, absolutely. And I did stick it out, too. I didn't just go, oh, bye-bye. I stuck it out, actually, until the market started to get better, and that's actually when I became...
Because timing is everything.
Timing is everything in real estate. But I have to tell you, it taught me a lot of great lessons. First of all, think for yourself. Number two, know your maths. And number three, you know, figure out the right marketing for the listing, but don't just do things just because people tell you to do it. Actually, you know, have a brain and start to think about like what actually will work and be creative with your marketing. If you don't think you've got the budget, then there might be something else that's out there that can actually cover that instead and be just as effective, you know?
And it's one of those situations where you realize so much of it could have been avoided.
Yes.
If you just had some communication, not
yes.
just with the homeowner,
yes.
but with maybe the broker who could have looked at the total picture there. And I mean, a lot of our homeowners in the U.S. and Canada do not understand that we don't have expense accounts in real estate.
I know. It's just, well, like, I'm amazed that, you know, it's like spending, well, they didn't know what money they're spending because it's not their money. So it just was.
And
like,
you probably weren't telling them because you were a greenhorn. You're just showing them copies of the pretty ads, but not
yeah.
telling them you were dropping cash on it.
Absolutely. So, you know, they got all of the marketing that they insisted upon and demanded, which I paid for.
So now I know how I am. If I don't get a property sold, I look at the MLS nonstop until I finally see the final disposition of the property. Did you look at the final disposition and see what happened to this house?
The house is still owned by them.
Shut up. 10 years later? Oh, I hope they're listening because they owe you some money, girl.
Oh, it's even better is that they're a brand new development opened up just right next door to them. So they will. That house will never be worth whatever it was worth.
Which is the other lesson our consumer friends should hear is that when we tell y'all it's probably the best offer you're going to get, we're probably telling you the truth. And then if it's a declining market situation overall, there's really nothing embarrassing about a short sale. That's just a smart economic decision for you and the lien holder if they will agree with your hardship on the whole situation. So, Tara, if anybody listening to the program is perhaps a broker or a company that's looking to hire an amazing trainer in social strategy, how could they find you?
You can find me on my website, which is techwithtara.com. tlc.com, or you can also email me. That's always the best way to reach me, which is Tara, T-A-R-A, at techwithtlc.com. And I am very good at checking my email.
And they could probably also reach out to you if they need a great agent in the Northern Virginia market, because y'all have some pretty amazing agents there at C21 Redwood.
We have some great agents both in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and in all, almost every county of Northern Virginia. So please let us know if you've got some referrals, because we'd love to create a relationship with you.
I will include all of Tara's contact information in the show notes for this episode if you happen to be driving or sweating while you're listening, so you don't have to stop and write. And if you're listening and you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, vendor, or a consumer with your own crazy story about real estate and how it looks nothing like you see on HGTV, shoot me a message and I'll be glad to feature you on the show. If you want to tweet us, use the hashtag crazyshit, and I will reply and even retweet and give you some love back. Subscribe for more episodes. They drop on Tuesdays and Fridays, and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.